This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Finally happened. Jesus is now a hate crime. Last Friday, a painting of the crucifixion was found outside the Hillside Islamic Center in New Hyde Park in New York. That's it. Just a painting of the crucifixion. It didn't say death to Muslims on the back. It didn't even say Jesus saved. It's just a painting. Nevertheless, it's now in the hands of police. Nassau County cops are looking into the painting as, brace yourselves, a possible hate crime, presumably because it's now hateful to remind people that Christianity exists. Well, it's hard to believe anyone's going to go to jail over this, though obviously we'll keep you posted if anyone does. But that's hardly the point here, actually. Law enforcement has been so bullied by the progressive thought police in this country, they felt obligated to investigate religious art as a crime. In other words, to play along with the fantasy that you can hurt somebody by expressing unfashionable views. Meanwhile, incidentally, murders go unsolved for lack of manpower. It's the brave new world the left has created, and almost nobody says anything about it.
I mean, talk about being focused on the things that really matter. You know, the weaponization of the thought police, all this stuff. I mean, you know, and you just keep wondering, you know, is there going to be a judge? Somebody at some point says, that's ridiculous. Get it out of my court. I'm not going to waste time. But they keep giving it place. So if you give it place, then it just keeps raising its ugly, stupid head. This is what this has come down to. I mean, a picture of Jesus now regarded as a hate crime. And in a sense, it is a hate crime. I mean, it's definitely hate against evil. I'm not sure you want to call that a crime. You're really stretching the whole idea of what a crime is by saying that something that is against evil, like Jesus, is a crime. I guess it's in the eye of the beholder. I guess if you're evil, then it would be a crime that somebody would be calling you out for your evilness. Oh, Lordy, is it any wonder? I mean, how do you explain this to the kids these days? I don't know. You know how you can confuse logic and reason, but yet we want our kids to be critical thinkers, right? Ask the questions, and you know, you can have all kinds of fun with this one in the car, and just hope that you're on a long drive or maybe a short drive, because the long drive you're going to hear over and over again, why? 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 And then you come down and you go, I just don't, you know, I don't know why. Maybe the why is just that we've become unhinged as a society and as a culture, that we want to give place to this kind of silliness. And we do this time and again. Our courts are loaded up with ridiculous opposition that you think, wow, this should be handled a little bit more quickly. Oh, no, let's just, you know, spend more money, waste more time, get the attorneys involved, and let them mount up their hours and exercise, you know, our legal right to be stupid and just to sue people to all kinds of ridiculous ends. And, you know, you talk about an abuse of the court and the whole system, the abuse of freedom. This is what this all comes down to, because nobody is willing to stand up and just say enough of this stuff. That's what I'm saying. I'm waiting, you know, for some judge. And I mean, a number of judges, maybe a judge with enough power and influence and, you know, that can overwhelm the insanity and just say enough. Stop it. This is crazy. You know, but meanwhile, the majority of us have to sit on the outside and hope that this doesn't happen to us. And we look at it and shake our heads. But I'm telling you, don't think you're immune to this. This could be coming to a theater near you. You know, things that you would do so innocently that would be regarded as hate. And what did you do? You know, in a case like O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly, the gal had said that she was walking out of an elevator, and I guess she has eyes behind her head, and her comment, it was so ridiculous. Was, you know, he was, I had this feeling he was looking at me. Oh, so now this feeling that he was looking at you, can be regarded as sexual harassment. I mean, this is what this is all coming down to. Nothing proved, just a feeling. Feelings, because that's just the way we are. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, I'm glad you could join us in this effort. All hands on deck are required if we're going to get this country back on track. Your voice counts. Your opinion counts. So make sure you let me know. You can even drop me an email at bill@billmartinezlive.com or, you know, hashtag at bmartinezlive, just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. You know, for those of us parents who sometimes have kids, you know, we have children who, you know, they just, it's hard for them to make friends. And it's tough, you know, because we want our kids to be adaptable. We want them to be approved, to fit in. But it is a challenge when you have a child that it's difficult for them to make friends. And it's especially when there's a contrast, when you have other children, that's so easy for them. But you have this one child. And it is a heartbreak for us parents. And, for many years, like I said, we all seem to have one. You have a child that may fit in this category. And my one son, who's been challenged to have friendships, I always thought the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, you know, that great classic book, was a great reference. But we have a new book that's just been released by Simon & Schuster's Aladdin Beyond Words. And it just came out this summer. This month, as a matter of fact, from Dr. Eileen Kennedy Moore. And it is Growing Friendships, A Kid's Guide to Making and Keeping Friends. And maybe this will be the new go-to book, because this brings it up into the modern-day vernacular and is very appropriate. And I think it's going to answer a lot of questions for you. And she is with us right now, lucky for us. Dr. Eileen Kennedy Moore, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Bill, thank you so much for having me on the phone, on the show. I'm happy to be here.
Well, good. And I've been looking forward to this opportunity to talk to you because, parents struggle. You know, we struggle with this, you know, when you have an exceptional child. And I will put it in that context. It is an exception, and it becomes sometimes high maintenance for us and heartbreaking all at the same time, because we want our kids to be able to fit in. But we want them to have, you know, the right kind of friendships. And, for many of us, we find ourselves praying that God would bring, you know, somebody into their lives that would be a good friend to them. So this book is very timely. Really appreciate this.
Thank you. Bill, you are absolutely right that the friendship problems, when our kids are struggling with friendships, it is absolutely heartbreaking for parents, because we know that we can't make friends for our kids. But fortunately, there is a lot that we can do to support them in their own efforts to make friends. And really, you're right that some kids do struggle, especially with making or keeping friends. But I think just about every child struggles with friendship issues at some point or in some way, whether it's moving to a new school where they don't know anyone, or maybe having an argument with a friend and not being sure how to get past that, or having a friend maybe spend more time with somebody else. Suddenly our kid feels left out. Mm-hmm. So just like with math skills, some people come by on them easily, and
yes,
some people need some extra support. And the good news is that as parents, there is a lot that we can do to support those friendship skills.
Yeah, and friendships are so personal. That's the thing, you know,
definitely,
is that, you know, unlike math, I mean, yeah, it can get personal when you're in front of the class and you can't figure out 2 + 2. I understand that. Been there, done it. But but when you're dealing with friendships, it's like, wow, who wants to be the odd man out? I mean, everybody's in the sandbox, and you're outside of the sandbox wanting to be inside.
That's very true. And we know from research that whether kids have a reciprocal friendship, meaning somebody that they like who likes them back in fifth grade, predicts not only how happy they are at that time, but mm-hmm. also predicts their sense of self-worth 23 years later.
Wow.
So
wow.
Friendships absolutely matter. Our kids' concerns and our concerns about this are very true. So, but what's interesting is that different kids bring different constellations mm-hmm. of strengths and struggles to the social arena.
Right.
So the book is divided into 5 sections. We have reaching out, stepping back, blending in, speaking up, and letting go. And you notice that a bunch of those are opposites. That's because friendship skills aren't about doing one thing. They're about being able to flexibly adjust our behavior to fit the situation. So sometimes we need to blend in and just go along with the crowd, and sometimes we need to speak up and say, hey, I don't like this. This isn't right for me. We need to reach out to make friends and, you know, start those relationships, but we also need to be able to step back when we're doing something that's annoying the other kids.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, that is a tough thing to explain, you know, to a child who's, you know, is hurt and feeling like they don't fit in. And, you know, of course, it's all part of the responsibility game, too, that
right.
you are responsible for the environment you create. And we've got to find a very basic way to communicate that and to keep that before them. Because, as you say, whether it's math or it's some other discipline, in some cases, it does take a little bit of effort and a little bit more counsel and coaching, right?
It absolutely does. But there's good research that parents can serve as effective social coaches for their kids. So Growing Friendships is written for children ages 6 to 12. But I think there's a special benefit of parents and kids reading it together because it can prompt important discussions about, have you ever been in that situation? Do you know anybody like that? The book is filled with cartoons, so it's very child-friendly. And we talk about lots of very common situations of friendship dilemmas. And then the narrator comes in and offers these research-based tips about here's what's going on and here's what you can do. But my favorite part of the book are those cat and dog character that wander through
yes.
the text and make goofy suggestions like, he should sniff their butts. So it's very silly to make it non-threatening to kids.
Yes, right.
Because no kid wants to say, here, read this book, you're a loser.
Yes, it's exactly.
It's very light, and it's very practical. So the book goes way beyond just be nice. It gives down and dirty, practical things that you can try tomorrow. I'll give you one example. We adults tend to tell kids, well, why don't you go up to that group there and ask them if you can play?
Mm-hmm.
Bad idea. Research tells us that children who are able to successfully join a group at play do not draw attention to themselves. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So the sequence that we recommend is watch them blend. So watch what the kids are doing and then slide into the action without interrupting it.
Exactly.
So there are 2 ways that kids can mess this up. We see the shy kids who stand back and just watch and watch and watch and never get where they want to be. And we see the more impulsive kids who, like, everybody's playing soccer and our boy comes in and grabs the ball and runs off with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he got attention, but it's negative attention.
Exactly.
He disrupted the play.
Right. Well, some great ideas here. I know you probably caused a couple people to go off the road here when they heard about sniffing their butts and things like that. But I find it quite charming. I mean, you know, the way dogs greet themselves and Maybe we would arrive to world peace a little bit sooner if we approached it more like dogs than some of these other disruptive things.
Well, you know, I know your theme, Bill, is about bringing everybody together. It starts with friendship skills.
Exactly.
And one of the most common reactions I get when parents read the book is, oh, my goodness, this applies to adults, too.
Without a doubt. Well, we're going to continue the conversation, Eileen. Stay with us. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
Tyler, time to go for our family walk.
Just let me nap a little longer.
You promised we'd get more active.
I know. How come you're so ready to go?
It's Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where'd you get them?
I ordered them from superberries.com/radio, and right now we can get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus, we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait to try them. I'll get it all.
I'll get the hint.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
And membership is only $9.95.
Yep. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Someone once said, live free or die, right?
Martinez
this live.
Hey, back with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. You know, there's not a single child on the planet who hasn't encountered a friendship issue, having an argument with a friend, getting teased, or even trying to find a buddy in a new classroom. You know, these are typical problems, but they can be very painful for both girls and boys, especially in this information age, the age of cyberbullying and all that takes place. You know, the fact of the matter is good friendships are key to a happy childhood, but they're not always easy to build or maintain, as you may have experienced, maybe even personally yourself. Research tells us that first graders keep only about half of their friendships from fall to spring. Fourth graders maintain about three quarters of their friendships across the school year. Growing Friendships, this new book that we're talking about that comes from Dr. Eileen Kennedy Moore, is offering some real help that kids can use immediately and enough humor to make the messages appealing and memorable and fun. And as she suggests, this is one of those books that you read together with your child and help navigate. And I would say, Eileen, even if your child has what you would think are healthy friendships, I think this is a very practical guide to even help them along as well.
Well, thank you, Bill. I agree, because friendship skills are not something that we master at age 9 and then we're done. Even as adults, we're continuing to learn in new relationships or new situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about, you know, how children make friends.
Okay. So one of the most important things to keep in mind is that kids make friends by doing fun things together. So you want to be thinking about what does your child enjoy doing and how can they do it more with other people. A lot of times, here's some really heartbreaking research. Children who are chronically friendless often target as wanting to be friends with kids who they have nothing in common with. Mm. And it's really that common ground that helps kids to become friends. So we want to start with the initial showing openness to friendship. And that means offering greetings, saying hi to somebody. Shy kids have a lot of trouble with this. If you have a kid like this, you might want to start first by having them count how many greetings they see when they go to camp or when they go to school. And they may be surprised. It's like, oh, everybody's greeting each other. They don't want to do it because they don't want to stand out. But by not greeting people, that's what makes them stand out. We can also help kids to show that they like somebody. So a compliment or a small act of kindness. Here, I brought you a napkin, too. Or nice shot if they're playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of shows, hey, I like you.
Right.
And then the most important thing that we as parents can do to fan the flames on those friendships once we've identified the kids who might be good friends is to arrange one-on-one play dates.
Mm-hmm.
So that really signals to the other child, I like you and I want to spend more time together. Friendships are more stable if kids see the friends outside of school as well as in school. Now, at the beginning of a play date, there's often that awkward moment where one kid says, what do you want to do? I don't know, what do you want to do? So to get past that, prep your child beforehand so that when the guest arrives, he or she can say, do you want to do A or B? And they mm-hmm. can get to the fun as soon as possible.
Exactly. Well, when you say that a child sometimes wants to relate to, you know, a child that they don't have, seemingly on the surface, it's not a good fit. And
right.
You can see this. But maybe that child sees something in that other person, maybe that they want to be like, you know, whatever that draws them, because there's something that draws them to that child that they would be incompatible with. What is that?
Well, what I see in my practice is a lot of times a kid will pick the most popular kid in the class and say, I want to be friends with her, or I want to be mm-hmm. friends with him. Mm-hmm. Popularity is a really complicated topic. There was one study that asked kids to nominate who they liked, three kids they liked most and three kids they liked least, and then they got this hierarchy of which kids are most well-liked. And then the researchers were really smart because they asked kids, who's the most popular in the class? And it turns out only 9% of the most popular kids were also well-liked.
Mm-hmm.
So popularity, it doesn't necessarily mean kids like them. It means they're socially powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those popular kids can be pretty mean.
Yeah.
there's some research about this, what they are called bi-strategic controllers. And what they do is they dole out kindness and meanness in just the right dosage to keep their social power. And these are some of the most vicious kids on the playground. So popular doesn't necessarily mean good. Mm-hmm. We also know that the popular kids are more at risk for all the things we parents don't want them doing, like alcohol and early sexual activity and drugs and that kind of stuff. So we want to encourage our kids to develop genuine friendships that are based on mutual caring. We also want to help them to think about how they feel when they're with somebody. So is that person a good friend? And if most of the time the kid feels bad when they're with that person, then we want to help them to get other options. So they're not clinging to that less than kind friend just because they feel like, well, they don't have any other choice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, of course, it's really tough when the kids, as you mentioned, have to deal with rejection. What a powerful experience rejection is, isn't it?
Oh, it is heartbreaking. But we have to be careful here because children's relationships can change very quickly. So sometimes your kid will come home and telling you about this terrible situation, and you'll be like all night up worrying about this. Oh, my gosh, this is so terrible. And then you'll ask her about it the next day and she'll say, oh, we're fine. So why did you do that to your poor mother?
I know exactly. I mean, you know, the kids in the neighborhood, one minute they're fighting, I mean, and right. You're pulling them apart. And then 10 minutes later, they're outside playing catch. Everything's over again.
Exactly.
But, you know, that's
the thing with siblings, right?
Yeah, we the parents are the ones that carry the devastation on further than, you know. But you know, and the other side of that is equally strong and positive, and that is if you do something good for my child, I'll love you forever.
That is true. That is true.
Right?
So most of the time, children get past conflicts by being apart for a little bit, and then coming together and being nice to each other. Mm-hmm. So we adults tend to want to talk everything out. That's not necessarily what kids need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need that DMZ zone, that kind of breather time, right?
Right, and sometimes it's a few minutes, and sometimes it's a few hours, or a day, or a couple of days, but then coming back together and just being kind can reboot the friendship. Mm-hmm.
And there's something positive about that, you know, in terms of having conflict. And this is life. I mean, life doesn't just move along, clearly. But there is a maturation process and benefit through conflict, isn't there?
There can be. There definitely can be. And one of the, in our skill about letting go, we talk about forgiveness guidelines. Mm. I had a client once who the mom said to the boy, oh, why don't you get together with that kid down the road? And my client said, nuh-uh, because 2 years ago when we were playing travel soccer, he never passed the ball. So he was collecting this grievance like, you know, beads on a string.
Oh.
And so what I tell kids is we give them very explicit forgiveness guidelines. So if the person didn't do it deliberately, let it go. If they are genuinely sorry for it, let it go. If it happened once and it's never likely to happen again, let it go. If it happened more than a month ago, definitely let it go.
Yes, exactly. You know, my dad used to say, forgive often and quickly.
Yes.
You know.
Maybe our friends will do that to us, too.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, you know, if that's the standard and that's what we exercise, many times we get back what it is that we give. So we need to think about that, right? Good and
very
bad.
True. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Well, congratulations on the. I know this is going to be helpful for a lot of parents. And, you know, anytime you can get together with your child and share an experience, especially reading, it is a very powerful tool. Dr. Eileen Kennedy has been with us. By all means, get your hands on her book, Growing Friendships, A Kid's Guide to Making and Keeping Friends. Eileen, thank you so much for being with us. Great job.
Thank you,
appreciate it. You have a blessed day.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term Life Insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
You hold my head, you hold my head, yeah.
Hey, you really do count here, ladies and gentlemen. Let your voice be heard. This is a government of, for, by, we the people. That means you need to engage the process. You need to get involved. You can't sit back, heels up on the desk, and, think it's just business as usual. Business as usual is what got us into this mess. And if we're going to get out and get back on track, we need you. We need you engaged in the process. I am Bill Martinez. It's 28 minutes before the top of the hour, and glad we could have Bruce Thatcher join us. Bruce has written many books on the issue of immigration and history. For many, many times he's been on the show, we talked about immigration, how to avoid its perils and make it work. He's the founder of History Speaks Today, a project dedicated to sharing lessons learned from history. Help us avoid making the same mistakes. In his book that we've talked about with Bruce many times, goes beyond partisan rhetoric and shows how to effectively deal with America's immigration system. And, of course, he has a brand new book out, The Rise and Decline, Where We Are and What We Can Do About It. Bruce Thatcher, good to have you with us. I'm Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good to be here, Bill. Try to shed some light on some of the problems of the day.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it was announced here, as we were discussing more, and the country's been dealing with sanctuary cities. What are we going to do about it? And the sanctuary cities' response was, hey, we're going to double down. In fact, we're going to tell you what our goal is. We're going to make 1 million immigrant citizens in 2017. What do you think about them apples, right?
Yeah, well, actually, it's worthwhile looking at the number. That's a little bit of a stretch from what naturalization has been. In 2015, about 730,000 immigrants were actually naturalized. So these naturalization now, and the sanctuary cities say they're going to try to raise that to a million. Mm-hmm. That's a 33% increase, but it's been that high before.
Right. It's been as high as 1.3 or something like that. I thought we had some sort of allocation of about a million plus or minus in terms of allotted immigrants. Come into the country illegally, legal immigrants.
We have a whole confusing cluster of allocations that actually come to maybe 500,000, half a million through various channels, except for family. And family's unlimited, and that runs more than half a million every year.
Mm-hmm.
But once they get here, an immigrant has to become a legal permanent resident, an LPR, get a green card, and has to hold that green card for at least 5 years before they can apply for naturalization.
Mm-hmm.
Naturalize Now says that there's 8.8 million people who are eligible to be naturalized, and I presume from that, by eligible, they mean that these are people who have had green cards from more than 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to try to get a million of those naturalized this year through the procedures and everything. That's kind of a stretch. That's a healthy increase. And if you're setting sales goals, well, you set them high, I guess.
Yes, right. Yeah. Well, and you have something there to take credit for, so you can be able to say, hey, look, we got the number. You know, we conflated the number. But basically what they're drawing from is a universe of people that are already in the queue. But you would, you know, unless I'm misunderstanding something here, Bruce, the way it came out to me was like they were going to take these illegal immigrants who have scrambled to the front of the line, you know, through this sanctuary city process. And because if people are here legally and they have a green card and, you know, there's no need for them to deal with sanctuary city status, right?
Well, that's the way I see it, and that's the way you see it. Many of them probably feel more comfortable in sanctuary cities just because like tends to group with like.
Mm-hmm.
So they try to be with people they know and everything. But, let me tell you how this, as near as I can tell, I got looking into it, how this came about. On July 4th, of course,
mm-hmm.
Naturalize Now announced this program to naturalize a million immigrants. And almost instantly, mayors of 21 of the sanctuary cities announced support for the program. Of course, there's like 200 sanctuary cities, so I don't know where the rest are.
Mm-hmm.
And within only a couple of days, some reporter somewhere inserted the word illegal into the story.
Mm-hmm.
So then that rose to the headline on news agencies that just pick up from other news agencies, and that became the announced goal. I think that illegal part of that story is not correct.
Mm.
And when you take the illegal out of it, it becomes a much less significant story. So I think maybe Naturalize Now has been happy that somebody did that,
right,
and got them all that publicity.
Yeah, but the problem is when you get that, then you have resistance coming in because, you know, it's a form of propaganda and fake news. I mean, it's not even genuine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody, I mean, the bloggers can bloviate on it. The talking heads can just go on forever talking about how everybody is for or against immigrants and illegal immigrants. It's just unrealistic. What is realistic is the naturalization of people. And illegal immigrants, unless there's something I don't know, whether they come to the head of the line they're usually talking about is to get into the country and get that green card.
Right.
But they still have to wait 5 years to get naturalized.
Mm-hmm.
So we're back to the question of what is the government doing about controlling who can come in the country and get a green card, and I think that's a different topic for discussion, but very important one.
Without a doubt.
once they get the green card, then they got 5 years to wait.
But Bruce, let's go back and discuss the qualifier here, which is clearly the difference between somebody who comes in legally and illegally. Someone who comes in legally has to be sponsored so that they are not an encumbrance and a liability to the state or the community in which they happen to reside in. Whereas if you're illegal, now thank you very much, some of the political operatives have made it such that unbeknownst to we the people, we have become the sponsors of these illegal immigrants. So we, in a sense, are our own co-conspirators for the very thing we don't want to happen. Am I reading something wrong here?
I think that's a correct analysis of it, really, because illegal immigrants are, at least in the efforts of many advocacy groups, illegal immigrants get a preference on almost everything. A highly disproportionate number of them are on welfare or on some sort of state-supported substance. They are in the schools. They put a load on the social services. Call me a racist. They commit a higher proportion of crimes than American citizens do. So it's a real issue. But back to the immigration thing, unfortunately, there is a significant effort to push them to the top of the preferences and get them ahead of people who've gone through all of the processes of getting in here legally. And I think that's something that I hope is going to change pretty soon with this Congress and this president.
Well, this thing is wrong on so many levels, as you say, because they come in illegally, they go to the head of the line, they're getting more benefit than somebody who comes legally, and, you know, and they're part of an underworld, because if there's a problem, you know, it's not like they can dial, you know, call the police and ask for help, because they're here illegally, so then they have to rely on the neighborhood justice and whoever's commanding that zip code at that particular time. Bruce Thatcher is with us. We've got more from Bruce. We're talking immigration. We're talking sanctuary cities right here on Bill Martinez Live. It's just about 18 before the top of the hour.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right, get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Imagine what it's like to be active your whole life and then find out you're going blind. I have age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. As a wife, mother, and grandmother, my sight is precious to me, so I was relieved to find that treatments for some forms of AMD are available, and research for additional treatments is underway. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
I'm going home when the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Oh, I want to go. Oh, I want to go home.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, where you like me? Fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Very independent we are. And we thank you for that opportunity to share a part of your day with you. The author of the book Rise and Decline, Where We Are and What We Can Do About It, is our guest. Bruce Thatcher examines the history of four expired nations to validate the premise that rejection of the basic values on which a nation is founded leads inexorably to decline and extinction. Rise and Decline then applies those lessons to two existing nations that are in decline, notably the United Kingdom and the United States of America. Bruce Thatcher, we're talking illegal immigration. We're talking sanctuary cities. Well, I'll tell you, there's enough evidence out there, but yet the debate continues. It's like we're mired in a bucket of gum.
The debate continues. I hardly even call it a debate. The the argument continues. An example is the recent Texas bill, which is known as SB4 here in Texas, which has passed and will become law on September 1st, and it effectively bans sanctuary cities. Now, you would think from the reaction to this that we had just killed the Constitution of the United States. But what it does, what makes a city a sanctuary city essentially is that they say they're not going to cooperate with any enforcement of immigration law. So illegal immigrants can come to those cities and feel safe from apprehension for being illegal. Of course, that makes them vulnerable to a lot of criminal elements in their own area, as you mentioned earlier. What SB4 does in Texas, it has a number of provisions that are fairly innocuous, but it has two provisions that are very significant. It requires law enforcement agencies in the state at all levels to honor ICE detainers issued for violent criminals. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that's getting everybody. I mean, there have been suits filed in court on it by cities. There have been suits filed even by the Mexican government against it. It has another provision that I think has not been talked about, but I think is one of the most significant things. It has teeth. Mm-hmm. Because it requires all law enforcement agencies to enforce the law, and it imposes penalties and can actually lead to jail time and removal from office of officials who refuse to comply with the law. This is borrowing a provision that has existed in Singapore for many years, and that is that the people in charge of immigration law or having an effect on it are subject to penalties if they don't do their job.
What a novel concept, right?
Yeah, and other states are considering similar kinds of laws. Well, this is, you know, the scream and outrage in Texas, at least, about this from some cities and from, as I mentioned, the Mexican government about how absolutely awful this law is just astounding.
Well, the Mexican government, why, I mean, what, why do they even have standing?
Well, I don't know why they have standing. In late June, they filed a sworn statement with the U.S. District Court to argue why the law should not go in effect. They have 11 consulates in Texas who counsel Mexicans in Mexican citizens who are in Texas, and they're saying that this law makes it more difficult for them to look out for the Mexican citizens who are in Texas. And they go into great detail as to why they think that is. But, you know, I don't know the legalities of it, whether they have standings, whether they can actually sue. I don't think they can actually sue. But they can obviously file their opinions.
Yeah, and they're working the system because here they've got people who are compatible that are willing to stretch the law, break the law, you know, for their interest. So they have a common interest there because, you know, what's in it for Mexico anyway? But what, about $20 billion worth of money that goes back into Mexico from people who are working here?
That's right. And I think my opinion is that Mexico does not want the people back who are currently in the United States illegally.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a profit center. Why would you want that? You know,
it is.
You know, in a sense, they're kind of non-designated slaves to the system, and you know, and if a couple of them get out and they become citizens, you know, no big deal because we got plenty to, you know, replace them with, and it just, you know, it's like this, you know, the vacuum is not going to exist. So it's going to fill space, and you know, we just continue on as business as usual. And now, meanwhile, because it has been going on for so long, even law enforcement has kind of just surrendered to it and just said, okay, it's a matter of life. We'll just, you know, we'll manage the illegal problem. How does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think things are going to change after September to some degree in Texas because of that and by other states. Everybody who's taken a position in this thing, of course, is looking out for their own interest. Mexico has an economic interest in it, perhaps. The cities who are sanctuary cities clearly have a political interest in it because even if the illegals that they're protecting can't vote, certainly they express an opinion that has the immigrant community tending to be in their favor and keep them in office. So it is a mess that has to be cleaned up.
Mm-hmm. Well, they need to come up with something, you know, to replace the old system, even though this has kind of been a system that's won by default. You and I have talked about this before, Bruce. I think one of the solutions would be that what you do is, okay, the United States needs workers. All right. We need to lease those workers from the Mexican government. Empower the Mexican government and say, look at this is, you know, this is who we're going to hire, and we're going to pay the Mexican government just like any other company that would come in and say, here's our employee base, and we're going to make them available to you. And they cover their health care, and it's all part of the payment, all this kind of stuff. And we negotiate with the government for employees, kind of like the Bracero program years ago, the way it used to operate.
60 years ago, we did.
Yeah.
We didn't do all of those particulars, but that's essentially the way we dealt with the problem.
Exactly. And so, you know, but that seems too common sense and too reasonable to do that, because the thing is, I look at it this way. You begin to set up a win-win-win scenario. The labor's got work to do. They're going to get paid. The government now has an interest. I'm talking about the Mexican government. So now they see that as an asset. Oh, my goodness. Is that going to cause them to want to monitor the border, their side of the border, a little bit more closely to make sure that their asset doesn't escape, you know, through some of the cracks and the holes, because there's lost revenue there.
Mm-hmm.
And so this will make them a little bit more diligent. And I think that's where, you know, Trump gets his wish and his vision of Mexico participating in building the wall will come through. Because Mexico is going to participate one way or another. Either they're going to be surcharged, they're going to be taxed, you know, and help pay for the wall. I mean, there's different ways to pay for it. Or they can say, hey, we're going to come alongside and we're going to participate in building the wall because it makes for good neighbors and it's good for both sides.
I think that's so clearly obvious, and you might wonder why so many people don't like or say they don't like to do that kind of a thing, and I think the answer gets down to self-interests of all of the advocacy groups. How does that enhance their position? And unfortunately for them, it doesn't enhance their position, so they're against it.
Well, the problem is whenever you get government, it's kind of like we were just talking with a friendship expert a moment ago, Bruce, you know, and when you get people together, you know, who they'll find a way to become reasonable. They'll just say, hey, it's not tenable, you know, so let's be reasonable. And they'll come to an answer. But when you get the government involved, they got a social engineer. They got to get credit. They've got to create a bureaucracy. When it's real simple, you know, people just go, hey, you know, this will be a quid pro quo kind of deal. We'll work it out. It's win-win for everybody. You like it? I like it. Hey, let's do it. Let's go make it happen. It's just so much easier, you know.
Why couldn't we do that always?
Well, because we have a government that wants to operate outside of its purview. It was never designed to do all this stuff. It's like healthcare right now. I mean, we're looking to the government to solve health. That's not what they're for. You know, it's the wrong. My dad used to always say, you got to make sure you get the right tool for the right job. And so often, and especially now with all these activists, Bruce, as you know, even with these sanctuary city likes, they bring in the government to weaponize their interests. And
that's
so
right.
We're fighting all these weapons all over the place with the full force and power of the government, utilizing the IRS, FBI, you name it, ICE on down the line. And to what end? I mean, just to create more conflict instead of coming to a resolution to where it's win-win for everybody, like you just said.
And all of that serves the interests of a huge bureaucracy, because the ability to say no at every stage of the game gives them individuals a sense of power. They can say no, they can't say yes, so they're saying no.
And so the question is, what happened to a government of, for, and by we the people?
Well, I'm afraid, as I point out in Rise and Decline, I'm afraid we're getting away from that very fast.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, we've been on a downhill run here against that for a long time. And those citizens who think that the bureaucracy is what they need and it's Big Daddy taking care of them, Lord have mercy, you know, and it's going to require the rest of us who know better to, first of all, like they tell you on the airplane, put the oxygen mask on yourself first. Get yourself squared away, and then you can take care of your neighbor, right?
That's right.
Yeah, because your neighbor, guess what? Your neighbor's going to be looking for help here. If they're not already, trust me on this. They're going to be looking down the line. Rise and Decline, where we are and what we can do about it. Bruce, where is it available real quick? 5 seconds.
Amazon.com.
Just that simple. And linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you, Bruce.
If food became scarce, would you be able to feed yourself and your family? Have you found some emergency food supplies can cost upwards of $300 for a month's supply? And worst of all, they're packed with chemicals and other unpronounceable ingredients. At NorthwestFork.com, our mission is to provide you with food that's not only healthy and natural, but also affordable. At NorthwestFork.com, for only $127, you can order meals that are naturally high in fiber, carbs, and protein, packaged in Mylar bags with oxygen absorbers for superior shelf life. For a limited time only, your order ships free. But that's not all. Enter promo code PREP10 to receive 10% off your entire order. Call 800-700-2184 today. NorthwestFork.com keeps prices low by buying directly from suppliers in the Pacific Northwest, then passing the savings to you. Go to NorthwestFork.com or call 800-700-2184 for the most cost-effective and healthy food storage solution. That's NorthwestFork.com at 800-700-2184.